This is a HeadGum Podcast.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by the Fine Dining Podcast. Caroline, do you like to dine finely?
I do, because it rhymes with my name.
Caroline, dine fine, drinking water, drinking wine.
With Diane Feinstein.
With Diane Feinstein. RIP. Fine Dining, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America, is a podcast where comedian Michael Ornelas is traveling the country, eating at all the chain restaurants in search of the perfectly average 5 out of 10 dining experience. The objective middle threshold of where bad becomes good, which, if you listen to this podcast, you're very familiar with the concept.
With a 5 out of 10 experience.
And bad maybe becoming good, as God saves us. Recently, featured guests include Marissa Pinson and John Glover as they review Costco's Food Court. It's a two-part episode that covers everything from discontinued menu items to how many hot dogs could fit in their mouths. And today, his IHOP episode dropped. So right now, head over to linktree.com/finedining podcast and click Bee's Giveaway to enter for an all-expenses-paid trip to your local Applebee's, the current frontrunner for the most mediocre restaurant in America at a 5.02 out of 10 for you and three of your friends. And you can watch or listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Caroline, who would you take?
Oh my gosh.
Applebee's?
If I got a table for four at Applebee's.
Yeah.
Obviously, love of my life, Nathan, gonna be there.
My fingers are crossing.
Who likes chain restaurants?
I'm getting a nosebleed.
Probably my friend Jeremy. Okay.
I know him.
That leaves one more. Let me ask you a question,
yeah,
Kevin.
Yeah.
If you were gonna order an Applebee's right now, what would you get?
I'd get a fried onion if they had it.
All right, you're in.
Okay.
As long as we can share.
Hell yeah. Listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Enter by May 1st, and the winner will be announced on the May 8th Chipotle episode. That's linktree.com/finedining podcast. We listen to Mighty to Save, and we're going to talk about it today on Good Christian Fun.
Do you think you can make God laugh?
No. You're a clown if you say.
Hey.
I'm a Christian wife.
Sicario.
Everything.
White women are notoriously shifty.
Wanna get in the bathtub.
You should be upset that I had a laugh with her.
Clean up on aisle butt.
Only thing you're gonna catch from my toilet is a stank. Damn it.
Welcome to Good Christian Fun. I'm Kevin. Who's my stinky
super
little
spreader,
co-host?
Caroline.
Oh, hey.
It's me.
Hey, old Stinky Pete. We're here to have good Christian fun. Good Christian Fun is the podcast where we talk about Christian pop culture, the music, the movies, the entertainment made for and made by Christians. But you know what? It's actually for everyone. And actually, even though it has a faith message, it's something everyone can enjoy if you think
about it. It's a specific message, but it is for all people.
That's right.
Any audience, please listen.
Please tell your friends about our podcast. Not all desperate. It's episode 154, and we're stronger than ever. Our drive to do the show has never been this intense.
It feels good.
Caroline.
I'm excited about the episode today.
Why is that?
Because I feel like I'm going to sing.
Oh. Is that why? Well, then we should get to it.
Yeah. Well, were you going to ask me something just now?
Yeah, but who gives a shit?
That's true. Let's move on.
The first 10 minutes of every podcast is subtly, the subtext is always who gives a shit. That's every first 10 minutes before you get to the guest, before you
see,
get to
I
the
see
thing.
It as like my little slice of time with my friend Kevin before we go to work.
Honey, you get enough slices of time. You got a whole freaking pie of time.
That's true.
With Kevin.
It's actually quite a bit of time.
So we're talking about Mighty to Save. This is a worship, a praise and worship song from 2006 that entered the canon in the 2010s, I'd say, maybe even a little bit before then, by Hillsong. Hillsong United, a great mega church worship industrial complex that has no scandals, has only had good people associated with them. Selena, it's 2020. We've seen the quarantine cooking show. When are you dropping that worship album, honey?
Let's hear it.
When's it coming? Or what if they just did the same show, but instead of like famous cooks and chefs, it was famous worship leaders? So it's Jeremy Camp saying like, okay, honey, here's how you play a G chord. Like, but doing that over Zoom. Wouldn't that be a nice little opportunity for her?
I would like her to also do like a weekly Bible study show at her house that with her celebrity friends.
Rock.
Or what she could come out with her own devotional book, Selena calling Jesus.
Celebrity Bible study is low key such a good idea.
That's what I want to see.
Oh my God. Can we cast this out? But we're casting out our show today. We got a special guest. He's going to help us talk about this song. Friends and folks, you may know him from his writing on Big Mouth, his acting on Fargo Season 4. He's one of Vulture's comedians you should know in 2020. Give it the hell up for Caleb.
Caleb.
Here.
Caleb.
And that's me.
Okay, all right.
This is your walk-in music.
He's feeling it.
Down.
Caleb.
Do you guys think that I should start a band that just makes kind of intro-type music? Is that something that would be viable for me?
Extremely
I can't play an
useful.
Instrument.
Absolutely. Yeah. But specific for podcasts. So it's like, get hyped up, but there is a ceiling to the appeal of this music as well.
At the same time. There's 100% a shelf life for what I do, and I can't play an instrument, but what I do is special because of that.
That's right.
Well, let me ask you this, Caleb. Do you have heart?
Exactly. I do have heart and I have soul, even more importantly.
Mm-hmm. You've got the soul. You've got the rhythm. You can do whatever you got to do.
Exactly. And this reminds me of a very heavenly movie called Heart and Souls by starring Mr. Robert Downey Jr. himself. We've talked about this, right, Caroline?
No.
Heart and Souls. Have you watched this movie, Caleb?
I have not.
Okay. Heart and Souls is this, is Robert Downey Jr. okay movie from the mid-90s. He's a little boy who's born at the same time that a bus full of people dies in like the 1950s.
Yes, you have told me this before.
The people who die then become his guardian angels for the rest of his life.
No.
So this includes Charles Grodin, Alfre Woodard, and some other character actor types. And they just are in 50s clothing helping out Robert Downey Jr. as an adult. It's so good.
And the answer to the question outside of film, is Robert Downey Jr. okay, mm-hmm. in the mid-90s was no.
Yeah.
He was not.
Yeah, he answered that conclusively. But enough.
He was not doing well.
Caroline, do you want to confess?
He was resting. He was getting ready for his biggest role of his lifetime. Yeah, it was all preamble.
He was resting in court. He was resting in prison. He was resting in rehab.
He needed to take a little time off for
him. He knew what was coming. Do you want to share the things you had to peel off your childhood bedroom walls, a few weekends ago, Caroline?
Yeah. Okay. I went through a phase where I was reading Esquire magazine all the time.
Thank you.
And it was a little bit like it was actually good. And then it was probably a little bit like I'm not like other girls. You know, I read a men's magazine. So anyway, sometimes I would slice out bits of magazines that were inspiring or cool looking to me. And I was going through a box of old stuff from at my parents' house this past weekend, and sure enough, there was a clip of Robert Downey Jr. holding a samurai sword, and he had like cut through some sort of paper wall. It was rockin'. Like, I can't describe how rockin' that picture is.
What in the world?
That was the one that I had like taped on my wall for a long time. Presumably, I think even in college.
Okay, because you believed in what part? Like, what part was the appeal to you with that?
I think I wanted to send the signal out to people that I support unequivocally this man.
Okay,
and his projects and his films, and that was the beginning of the Marvel universe for me, probably.
Okay, interesting. And when you saw Doolittle, okay, there it is, right there. We're looking at the picture. This is Robert Downey Jr.
That's it.
So this is what Caroline had
posted up.
Yeah, it was like worn out too. Like it had been, it had moved through a few apartments.
I see. Okay,
it had been touched and you name it.
It was sticky.
I have to emphasize, this was not a horny item. This was not a sexual item. This was like the equivalent of a young man hanging up a picture of like Peyton Manning in his room. You know, and being like, my
guy. Respect. It was respect for the craft.
The acting and the personality.
Well, I just watched earlier today, actually, while I was eating lunch, I watched Robert Downey Jr. on the new Letterman long form interview thing on Netflix. Have you guys seen it yet?
No, not yet.
No, I have not watched any of that. What is that like?
It's really good. The show should be called David Letterman Fucks Around.
It's a podcast. He's just doing a really expensive podcast.
That feels like what he's probably wanted to do for so long, right?
Yeah,
around? No, he actually did a lot of that at The Late Show. Several women would testify to later.
So, yeah, he goes to people's like houses and shit. He went to Robert Downey Jr.'s farm in Malibu. Crazy.
Oh my God. Great. I always find that Robert Downey Jr. as a person is like exhausting. I think he just is very strange, like the way he talks. It's kind of like faux intellectual, you know, but you realize like, oh, that didn't mean anything, you know, what he just said.
That's everything feels like he's a hair away from snapping. Just fucking losing it.
Full, like, cult charismatic leader.
A hair away from snapping. Well, Caleb, thanks so much for joining us on the show. Speaking of being a hair away from snapping, can we talk about your background? Can we talk about religion, faith, Christianity, and how you grew up with it?
I am God, which has been...
Are you serious?
I'm coming out. It's been really hard keeping it a secret.
We got a lot of
so
questions.
Brave.
How much time
I almost came out about this in 2016, but then the way the election went, I was like, not a good look.
Yeah. People are going to blame me for this.
I didn't want to steal focus. I was supposed to be in control, right? You wanted Trump to have his moment.
Because I wanted to give him a chance. He won, and I was like, let's give him a chance. And I'll say now, he ruined it. He blew his chance.
Well, let's see. There's a little bit of time left.
He's got time. If he gets Amy on the court, we'll see.
That's right.
I
love God being like, we'll see. I don't know what's going to happen. Yeah.
Give him a chance, fella. No, I grew up in Missouri, huge brag. And of course, I didn't actually, you know, I lived in my mom's household, and it was just her and my brother and I. And she wasn't a big, like, she's very, she has a Bible. She very much believes in God. She would call herself a Christian. But she was never like a drag the kids to church person. I think mostly because she was working three jobs, raising my brother and I by herself, and putting herself through college. So I think she just didn't have a ton of time for Sunday activities.
Yeah.
But I kind of early middle school, I started inserting myself into church.
And what do you mean by that?
You know, I went to every church in town and I said, who wants it? It's where everyone hung out. It was Missouri, you know?
You're like
13, 14. You're not really allowed to do anything. You don't have a license. And it's like every Wednesday night, the parents kind of fuck off and you can go to youth group. And that's like an activity. And so, you know, I was going to youth group and kind of learning about God and, you know, learning about Christianity and non-denominational Christianity mostly. I wouldn't really say evangelical, but there were certainly evangelicals around. Like a lot of the adults involved in the church had agendas and they were known. But yeah, that was the deal. And I spent like middle school, early high school kind of praying the gay away. And it didn't work. And so
how did that manifest itself? Like, would you talk to other people about it? Would you say friends like, I'm struggling with this, or was it fully internal?
No.
Okay.
No. I definitely not talking to anyone about it. Because I also wanted to be my older brother, was just like a massive fuck up. He was a constant problem for my mom. And I just wanted to be like a model kid for my mom because I felt so bad that my brother was such a fuck up. I was like, I'm gonna be no problems, Mr. like good grades, get like involved in everything. And so I didn't want to introduce like a an issue. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So it's like that moment in the sitcom when you're like, hey, mom, can I talk to you about something? And she's like, yeah, your brother just burned our house down. Yeah. What do you got? And you're like, it can wait.
I got a B on my math test. That's all.
Right. Yeah. Tell me that.
Oh, that's all. The house is burning down. Yeah, I mean, I just didn't want to be a problem. I wanted to be a perfect kid. I think I was a good kid, and I also obviously I know now for anyone listening, being gay is not wrong. But at the time was spending a lot of time with like a big thing in church. In my church at that time was like, garbage in, garbage out. If you're listening to pop music that's dirty, you're gonna have dirty thoughts. And so I was trying to listen to a lot of like Christian music, and I was trying to, anytime I would have like a sinful or a gay thought, I would be like, put on your Christian music. It's good in, good out. Like it'll
automatically
process.
Like clean and do car wash your brain for a while in right. sweet music of Hillsong.
Like, yeah, I watch Thelma and Louise would be on and young Brad Pitt would be on screen shirtless, and I would be like, where's my iPod? I need to listen to Hillsong.
Everyone needs compassion.
I'm like, turn it off. Get me a Hillsong album. Stat.
Thelma and Louise has launched thousands of Hillsong fans over the years, I'm sure.
Young Brad Pitt in that movie was fucking
devastating.
That's a moment. That's a moment.
He's
for
never
a lot
looked,
of people.
Uh-huh. I think, Ooh. As good as he did in that one hotel scene right there.
Wow. Oh, you didn't like Thank him you. As like a 60-year-old and Once Upon a Time on the Roof? That didn't.
Listen,
that didn't
I'm not
you.
Complaining about Brad over the course of his career. I'm just saying that scene, there was just something there.
Yeah.
When it comes to horniness, that was, I mean, in the horny community, that scene is a pillar.
It's
a touchstone for us.
We all agree.
And in the alt horny in the alt horny community, which I count myself a member of, the first 15
the
minutes of The Curious Case of Benjamin Button is also equally as pivotal when he is a
when
old
a
man
baby.
Yes, that's right. No, he's a man. Oh. He's a man. He's
See,
not a baby.
I mean,
yeah, I'm not a part of that community.
I mean, no disrespect by this, but to me, that's disgusting.
Yeah, I don't like to kink shame, but that
just
yeah, that's like literally foul.
Just because he was wrinkly, not because he was a baby.
Catch my new film, Cuties, on Netflix.
Exactly.
Oh.
What?
Oh. Oh, Caroline. Caroline said, "I won't
a
have
bridge
it."
Said, too
no, thank
far.
You.
No. Okay. So that middle school and high school, and then did it start breaking down from there? Like, what was kind of the pull away after that?
You know, I got really into. I became a very big fan of comedy, like halfway, like you know, probably like mid high school. I mean, even before that, I think I was a fan of comedy, but I got very into like. I got very into like George Carlin and
the seven words you can't say, dude.
Oh my gosh. The seven words you can't say.
Oh,
and Ricky Gervais, like just oh, no. shock comics.
Wait, have we talked about this on the show before, Caroline? Ricky Gervais's comedy?
I mean, I probably.
Well, I mean, and for the listener at home, answer? And like skip 15 seconds ahead if you're easily offended, but Ricky Gervais is an atheist.
Right.
And he talks about it. That's the thing. Like he's not
he
only an atheist, but then
there.
He actually talks about it. And he's taken some edgy pictures where he's like crucified himself. And it's just,
oh my God.
You just can't imagine that stuff is legal now, but there it is. And he does that. Yeah.
The thing to me, I think George Carlin actually holds up. I think he was a very funny guy. And a lot of his material to me, actually, the thing that bothers me about, okay. The thing that bothers me about my George Carlin fandom is that it aligns me with a bunch of men that I think suck.
Oh, yeah.
And those men have generally bad taste, but nailed it on George Carlin. The thing about Ricky Gervais that upsets me is I wouldn't consider myself a fan of his anymore because he will tell a joke, and before anyone can even respond to it, he'll be like, oh, did I offend you? And it's like, no, yeah. bitch, we haven't even responded yet. Like, you're just hoping for
Let
it.
Me breathe.
You're thirsty. Yeah, you're thirsty for it.
Yeah, he's like edgelord comedy of 2009, personified and then plateaued, and then there was no other phase after that for him.
Yeah, it's like, I don't mind. I for me, in my comedy personally, I don't usually go that far, but I don't mind hearing people go that far. There's really nothing that's off limits for me. I don't mind hearing it. I just think there's such an old dude, like, there's that older class of male comedians really does buy into the idea that comedians are modern day philosophers. And I'm like, No, you're not. You're a fucking narcissist with a microphone, and that's okay. But there needs to be some self-awareness about it. You know what I mean?
Oh, totally. Yeah. Oh, like when Seinfeld...
Like, I'm the only one that could tell this truth. It's like, probably not. That's like, probably there's not. A lot of people that think that. Yeah.
And if that was true, you wouldn't be selling out stadiums, huh? So it's... It's kind of like, no, a lot of people obviously think like that too. You're not this crucified like truth teller. But
yeah.
The whole point of this is that I got into comedy and started, a lot of comedians that I liked were like, Christianity's whack, organized religion is fucked. And I was sort of really got on board with that and was like sharing atheist memes on Facebook. And like it really turned my, I became very antagonistic about where I was from, the people around me and what they believed in. And I think at that point in my life, it was all about being like, I just had this intense need to be like, if I'm going to be different than you, I'm going to be all the way different than you, and fuck Christianity, and like, you know what I mean? Just so antagonistic and wanting to have a fight about it. And I think that's kind of where I ended up leaving my hometown and going off to school. That's like the vibe where I was at.
Was it comedians specifically like Gervais and Carlin, or were there others, or were there like other bits you can even remember specifically that are like, oh yeah, I see some cracks in this foundation where this isn't for me.
Nothing
anymore.
Even specifically, I will say there was a moment comedy in general was a big thing to me of, you know, I'm sitting in my hometown of Missouri feeling like, this doesn't ring true to me. I'm trying really hard because I'm scared, because, you know, a lot of churches just traumatizing children into fearfully believing in what you tell them. Mm-hmm. And in my opinion. And so I'm sitting here going, this doesn't really ring true to me. And then I'm watching all these comedians pick apart things that everyone else is maybe not noticing or is too scared to say. And I'm like, that's interesting. And there was one conversation, though, that wasn't about comedy. I was at a youth group that I was attending. And we were having like a small, it was like the kids would sit in the basement and talk to the youth pastor, and we would get to have like some real talk. You know what I mean? It'd be like, if you guys have questions about sex or drugs, don't be scared to ask them. And someone asked, what happens? And I mean, I don't want this to sound heavy, but it is kind of a heavy question. But someone asked in the group, the pastor, what happens if a child or someone with a developmental disability, like what happens if they die and they didn't have the capacity on life or the time on earth to confess Jesus Christ as their savior? Do they go to heaven or hell? And the pastor was like, gave some really muddled answer or whatever. And then the person asked a second question, which was, okay, if someone is a full grown adult and they're perfectly mentally capable of understanding these concepts, and they live in the middle of nowhere and have just never heard of Jesus Christ, do they go to heaven or hell? And our youth pastor said, well, the Bible says that you'll know by the wind and the trees that I am real, or something to that effect. And so they would know, they should know. And if they don't confess Jesus Christ as their savior through that, then they go to hell. And I'm just sitting there like, are you out of your fucking mind? They're supposed to sit in the middle of fucking nowhere, see the wind blow in the trees, and be like, I wonder if a guy like, was nailed to a cross.
I'm just hearing WWJD, you know, when I see a sunrise. I'm like, what right. is that?
And this youth pastor's take on it, his theology probably aligns with like a lot of mainstream evangelical thought with it, which is basically a snowman like vision of God, in which for whoever the person is in whatever isolated community, he gave them all the clues, and if they didn't get into it, then they didn't get into it.
Well, I had heard that same argument too. Yeah, that like creation is like witness enough to everybody to like understand that you're supposed to know who Christian God is. But I feel like I was just like, uh-huh, makes sense. Like when I heard that as a kid, like, yep. But I think they gave a little latitude of like, well, they'll know, they'll believe in God and God will meet them halfway and that'll get them to heaven, basically. Of like, of course, they're not going to know what the Bible is or like what the Holy Spirit or Jesus Christ is, but like the general reverence will be enough to get them in there or something like that.
Which
opens up a lot of questions.
Right, exactly. So you ask those hard questions and you start getting these answers that are like little compromises that are like, how can we still be right and give, but also not be insane? And it's like, what it ultimately comes down to then is like, oh, then this all could be like everything you're saying that could be done with if you wanted to. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If you can make the concession, like the concession giving for like, oh, well, somebody with mental disabilities or somebody with different mental abilities, there's different rules for them and there's different rules for babies. And it's like, Okay, then you're just doing whatever you want at this point. And that's
okay. This is just magic, you know? Right. Like, you just made up a magic phrase.
And that's
and
okay.
Sometimes it's important and sometimes it's, so just like acknowledging, like, it's not airtight. You know, sometimes it's not right.
And it doesn't have to be. And that's the thing that I look back on most from my time as a child in the church is I really think I would be, I don't know where I'm at with things now, honestly, but I really think I would not have felt such a need to rebel so hard against organized religion if I had come up in a church or any church. I came up in several because we moved a lot. But if I had come up in a type of religious environment where it was more about like progressive Judaism, where it was more about like asking questions and less about we're right, you need to get on board or you're going to suffer for eternity. That's just so ridiculous to me. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it's like extortion, you know?
Something that could withstand questioning or have the latitude for any sort of discernment rather than falling apart like a house of cards. I know, that's the thing. That's the thing everyone says that we talk to where it's like, if there was some sort of, I don't know, maybe, who knows, and just like some space for it, then it probably, especially for the initial rebellion, would have gone a different way.
Yeah, I think it would have been so helpful, but anyway.
What happened to you on a specific mission trip into the Smoky Mountains, Caleb?
Oh my God. Who was I just, I was just talking about this. Oh, I was, just, we went on this mission trip and at this point I'm like, yeah, I'm not talking to anyone about being gay. I think something's going, I'm like, I feel like I'm gay. I mean, I feel like I'm gay since I'm like in third grade. Like,
how old are you at this point on the mission trip?
This is like the summer before my freshman year of high school. I think this is right around then. And yeah, so I'm getting a little bit older. I'm starting to understand that this thing that I'm like, oh, something feels different. There are words for it and people, you know, exist in the world as this thing. And I'm like, okay, so I'm attracted to guys. And that's what we're trying to work on. We can fix that now that you have to name it to fix it. And I went on this mission trip with my youth group and I liked a lot of the people in my youth group. Even the adults I look back on, they're good people. They like their ideology. Maybe if we really got into it, isn't something I would agree with as an adult, but like, they mostly were community servants. They literally helped raise kids in the community, especially I had like a single working mom. Like, it was a good experience for me overall, genuinely. I don't mean to demonize those people when I say that I was praying the gay away. Most of my interactions with these adults were not like, being gay is wrong. It's just things you heard around, you know?
I know exactly what you mean, yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're good people, really. I mean, I think honestly. But I went on this mission trip, had a blast for the most part. Like, everyone's very fun and cool, and it was like a great group of people my age who I liked. But they roomed me with the hottest guy in our entire fucking youth group, maybe in our town. Like, he was hot. Whoa. He was a hot guy and he was like really cute and just like, I just was like kind of enamored with him, and I could have been roomed with truly anyone else. There was no one else on the trip that I was attracted to. It could have been anyone. One of the people on the trip was a cousin of mine. I'm like, come on, put me in his room. Like, and not even a hot cousin. You know what I mean? He's like, so, I mean, I'm not saying you can't be interested in your cousin. Be like, it's happened.
I'm from Texas.
Cool,
I understand.
Dangerous, yeah. Movie or anything going on there with the cousin. Yeah.
But I got roomed with this guy and he was like walking around the room naked being like, look, like doing little bits and being like, my Mr. Hangdown's out to play. And I'm like, why are you doing skits with your, what's going
on? My Mr. Hangdown?
Caroline, you don't understand. When you're at that age, that's comedy. Is being right. Naked is comedy.
Dude, truly. I feel like I'm just learning about like how much time boys spent time being naked around each other.
I told you about the double red eye I saw on my mission trip, right, stuff. Caroline?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
The what?
Oh my God.
Well, quick digression.
No, yeah, you gotta tell them.
It's when two naked men. It'll be hard. I'm gonna try to explain as well as possible. But it's when two naked men stand back to back, link arms, and then one of them bends over, and so the other one's kind of resting on his back,
kind of like this.
Yeah. So it's like if they're there, then one of them goes like this, and then they spread their cheeks and then walk into a room, so you see clearly both of their buttholes at the same time.
Butthole here, yeah. And that's your double red eye.
I'm just so bored already. You know what I mean? That's just such a useless.
Ricky Gervais stuff, you know? Yeah. It's just like, you think you're pushing the envelope and
the invention of lying. That was a triple red eye.
I've seen an asshole before.
I just can't believe how it, like, it's just like this guy who you weren't even, were you friends with him? Like, were you tight?
We were kind of friends.
You're kind of friends?
I'd see him around church and like school. He was a little bit older than me, too. That was part of it, of course.
Just yanking the dick out right away. Be like, this is time for fun.
Louieing it up on the mission trip. Mm.
Well, so much of like adolescent, I mean, I don't know what it's like today, obviously. I'm not hanging out with a lot of teen boys anymore. But so much of my adolescent male experience was, I mean, if you're in the closet, it's so gaslighting because people are telling you like, or you're hearing it in culture at least, like, oh, being gay is weird. It's different. It's wrong. It's like not, it's embarrassing for men to be thought of as gay. But then all of these private experiences are just like straight guys getting naked around each other, touching each other, doing sexually suggestive things and being like, wouldn't it be funny if we were doing this? And it's like, babe, you're doing it.
Yeah, you actually are grinding on each other, though. So, right.
Wouldn't it be funny if I got a boner from humping you just as a joke? And it's like, you just did.
I know, man. I had one of those guys in my high school. There's this guy named Pat. He was part of theater. And he was straight as far as he claimed and could tell. But he would mess with the other guys and like grab them or like go in for a kiss. And then when the guys, myself included, would pull away from it, he'd go, what are you, gay? Like, that was his rejoinder.
That doesn't make sense.
Right. We're like, I don't understand this exchange.
What's the logic there?
No.
Oh my God.
It's truly gaslighting. It's so crazy.
It's stressful.
It's stressful as fuck. I mean, and then you also, you know, you're learning so much about God sending signs and this other magical shit, and you're like, what is the fucking point of this? Like, what am I supposed to make of this? What's your big plan?
Satan, I know that for sure. So what am I learning? What's the message?
Right. What's the big thoughtful design on this?
And what was your takeaway? What was the little nugget you got from that trip, Caleb?
That I was fucking horny.
Evergreen nuggets.
I was like, takeaway. The takeaway always is that I'm fucking horny.
Oh my goodness.
No, the takeaway was that I was bad. That I was like, you know, that I was like giving in to these like weird, you know, these desires, and that I shouldn't even be thinking of it that way. And that that this is normal behavior, and someone else wouldn't have been thinking it was, you know, something more than just funny. And so it was just crazy. And then also my, you know, we got paired with like college students from around the country would come to this, like, it was a mission trip and a conference. You know what I mean? It was like you do the mission stuff and then you learn discipleship and things or whatever. But college kids would come, and most of the college kids were like these dorky ass evangelical teens that were like homeschooled and now go to like, you know, Liberty University or some fucked up little school. And and if you go to Liberty University and you're listening to this, are you?
No.
Oh, I was like, that's crazy, because what I'm about to say is get fucked. I mean, it's a crazy place to go to school.
No, truly, yeah.
Oh, wow. I really, my life flashed before my eyes, Caroline. I was like, oh, I'm about to die for whole
Well,
life.
The new cover art for our podcast, Caroline and I are going to recreate that image of Falwell Jr. and the lady on the boat, and their pants are hanging out or whatever the hell. Or their pants
absolutely,
hanging out. We're
going to
do that for a new podcast cover, yeah.
But most of the counselors at that camp were like 22-year-old kids like that were fucking loser, dork-claim weirdos. And my counselor was this like hot dude that went to Florida State who played guitar and wore like tie-dye rainbow bandanas.
Boy.
And I was like, truly, what the fuck is happening on this here trip? He was so cute.
The stars aligned.
You know, maybe in retrospect, you thought God was sending you a test or an obstacle to holiness. And in reality, he was sending you a freaking lifeboat. Or he was sending you a rope out of there.
Maybe God wanted me to be gay.
He was like, listen.
Get the hell out of here.
I feel like, to your point, another hard thing of like the kind of the gaslighty thing too is like, because you're so isolated, you can't talk about this with anybody else. You probably assume like no one else is gay here except for me. And I'm like also invading these like sweet boys with their dicks out and they don't mean anything by it, you know? And like, I feel like it would also make you feel like this wolf in sheep's clothing or something like that too in the community.
Well, I think
not who you were.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think also that's part of it's an unrequited feelings in general feel like, especially when it's people you like. These are people you go to youth group with. These are people that and it happens to, you know, we all have unrequited stuff in life, but unrequited feelings, unrequited lust or love or whatever, I think the real, like, difficulty of it is that you are assigning meaning to these interactions, whether you want to or not, that the other person has no consent in. And so it feels like you're creating this alternate relationship or reality that they are a part of but don't consent to. And it does feel predatory. And it does feel like harmful, even though, you know, you don't ever tell the person. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It just, yeah, it does make you feel predatory. And then you hopefully get older and go to enough therapy that you're like, it wasn't predatory. It was natural feelings that you didn't need to get rid of, you know?
Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah. And you weren't the only one. Most likely either. And like,
probably. Like it was, I mean, I think in my case, I might have been, but probably.
We'll look them up. Yeah.
Trust me, I have. Okay. Well, I want to know what happened to
this Florida counselor.
I don't know what he's up to. I try to remember his name. I mean, I deleted my Facebook and that's where we were connected. So that was a mistake. But
yeah.
The guy that I was rooming with, the hot guy from my youth group,
yeah.
I keep saying this as if it's fact, and I guess I haven't 100% confirmed it, but a couple people from my hometown say it's true. I think he's in jail now, like prison.
Oh no. Oh, I don't know why I laughed.
Well, it is funny. I mean,
it's a funny specific. It's a funny
outcome to the story, whether we like it or not.
It's, yeah, I guess the contrast of the innocence at the time.
Abolish the prison system, blah blah blah, but also jail as the ultimate conclusion of this mission trip story is objectively silly.
Look, also, if there's a time to laugh at imprisonment, look, you're a straight white guy who has a. If you're a straight white, if you're born a straight white guy in this world and you end up in jail, you wanted it. You know, I mean, like you had to work for it.
Yeah, it's hard for me to get in there. It would be tough. Yeah,
right. I would have to put a lot of
keep trying to steal stuff, and they're like, "Well, maybe he's providing for his family. He doesn't have a family. Well, he might have one soon. So
right.
Yeah,
it's a fucked up system we have. But if you're born a straight white guy, look, you got to work to go to jail. These are the facts.
Yeah, no, I'm
gonna lean in.
Like Paul and Silas to bring it back. You said you don't know where you're at now with your beliefs. Like, do you have any like guiding ethics principle at all? You freaking sycophant. That's what it sounded like. I was about to ask.
Atheist. Yeah.
Do you have any compass at all? World?
Well, I'm always curious because the commonality, there's a lot of people we talk to, obviously, where like comedy is instrumental in bringing them out of it. Exposure to different perspectives, all that stuff. And then in some ways supplants it in sort of like the community sense. And then what was church or youth group on Wednesday night is your improv team or whatever the funny analogy is. Like, do you feel like there's things that have like taken up that space in your life in that sort of vacuum?
Yeah, I'm just going to really quick, guys. I'm going to turn my lights on so you can cut this part. I wanted to give a good break.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Hey, Google, turn living room lamps on 80%.
Sure.
Nice. Okay, girl, we got it.
It's like you're not gonna be on the podcast, girl.
Okay, Google.
I have like, something to say about faith.
Sort of, yeah, she goes. Growing he has up, no guiding I values.
She would know.
And you don't have to cut me turning on my living room lights if you don't want to. So you know, you for me, a big part of coming out of religion was just spending some time away from it and being like. I don't want anything to fucking do with it. I'm an atheist. I'm young. I'm probably, knock on wood, not going to die soon when I'm 18. So I've got some time to just fucking chill. And then, you know, I took some religion classes in college and I really dug my religion professors and I got pretty into Judaism for a while and just as a study and got really interested in it. When I moved to Chicago, I took a Judaism class at a temple. I don't know. I think, you know, lately I've been... I think I'm still ignoring it overall. I think overall I'm like, I'm not pinning it down. I volunteer when I can. I try to be a good friend. And overall my thoughts on God, the entity, are I think everyone's right. I don't care. Like, I think everyone, whatever it is, it's all the same thing. I think there probably is a higher power guiding things in the universe. I don't know in what way. They certainly don't seem to be all powerful to me. Because I don't think there would be a flawed universal like power, but if they weren't flawed, they would have to be lacking some power.
Stepping you know it saying? Up. Yeah.
Yeah, they would have to be fucking incompetent. which I love. So yeah, so I think everyone's right. Whatever, you know, Muslims, Christians, Jewish people, I think it's all the same idea and force, and we just have assigned a bunch of different meanings to it. And I'm, for now, decently comfortable with that. And I hope that I live long enough to, like, explore it more when I'm just not so busy. Mm-hmm.
So we'll put you down for Baptist then.
Put me down for Baptist. Okay, and great. Put me down for extremely conservative.
Okay, awesome. Okay. Thank you. Militant. That's all I wanted. Okay, oh my cool. gosh.
I will see you at the RNC.
Yes.
Next year. Okay, great.
Yes, RNC. Actually, it's I read something once that, and I this wasn't, you know, I can't cite it, so I don't know how reputable this is, but I remember reading something once that every time the RNC happens in a city, sex workers eat. You know what I mean? Like, because there's so much scandalous shit going on. Yeah.
Well, honestly, any convention in town, I think, is...
Anyone away for business is putting their dick in something. Boom.
Hey, if we wanted to talk about convention sex, let's talk about our brother in podcasting, Robert Lowe, in 1988, shall we?
truly. Yeah, he did some stuff.
He did some stuff, unfortunately. Well, on that note, Caleb, thank you for sharing your story and your background with Faith. Very fun to hear about and get into. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more good Christian fun. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, Caroline, I got a question for you.
Yes.
How is your social battery right now? Are you feeling drained? Do you got a lot of energy right now? Where are you at with things as we speak today?
Well, you know, when you're pregnant, famously, your social battery is endless, actually, because you're powered by a baby battery.
It's like someone slaps a mag charger onto your phone.
Exactly.
And you can go for like 24 hours more.
I am the U.S. Marines of taking down social situations. I feel incredible all the time. So yeah, that's where I'm at. What about you?
Wow. Well, I'm feeling a little drained. And sometimes it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, which is maybe the zone I'm in right now. Mm. And for me, spreading myself too thin is like going to a lot of like Garfield events recently that have been happening over town.
Oh,
with the new movie coming out.
I get so excited about those. You got to spread those out a little more.
I know. And I need to really protect my energy and stuff. But, you know, it's worth asking ourselves, what's the right amount of socializing and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Maybe you need a little me time, a little alone, introverted time. But either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. So things like tuning into yourself, feeling and understanding what you want and need yourself, and then being able to communicate that to those around you, and then most especially to yourself.
Well, if you can't get pregnant immediately, that sounds like a pretty good solution as a backup.
And again, I think I might have even said this before. If I could get pregnant, I would, just to understand what it's like to have even like boundless energy that can kind of propel me into
to feel
like
as incredible as to, you could feel.
To exercise more, mm-hmm. to be working out like 3 hours a day.
Exactly.
Working 9 hours a day on top of that, and then
good
going out 2 hours. Yes, such a good brain on top of that. So if you're thinking about starting therapy, maybe give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. If you don't like the first person you get, don't worry. There's another one on the docket. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/goodchristianfun today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
10%?
.com/goodchristianfun. You got some thoughts on that 10%?
That's a good deal.
It is.
I agree. First month?
And especially because 10% is where I'm feeling my battery is right now. That's betterhelp.com/goodchristianfun.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers. Aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there, and you know what? You can update it with an app, so every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's auraframes.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt. Mm-hmm. So do check them out. That's auraframes.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Welcome back to Good Christian Fun. It's time once again for a format we do on the show sometimes. It's time for Singles Ministry.
When we want to talk just about one song, not the whole album, that's way too long. We got a format, just wait and see. It's Singles Ministry. It's Singles Ministry.
Wow! Yes, Kevin.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh. That was great.
It's too long. A jingle should not be that. Okay.
Well, that was, but you had to do the full one. And then from now on, you'll do just like the little.
It's it. Yeah, I could just cut it to that. Sure.
But real fans will know the real song.
Singles Ministry is the format of the show where we just talk about one single song instead of make our dear unfortunate guest listened to a whole freaking album of this stuff. Caleb, we're talking about Mighty to Save today, but then otherwise, what other Christian music, Christian pop culture do you remember glomming onto, really enjoying back in the day? What were you listening to?
Oh, God. A lot of songs by Hillsong whose titles I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, just anything that I would shuffle through with them. Smile by Kirk Franklin. a little bit later.
Yes.
Love Kirk Franklin. God, what was that awful? I always want to say Remember the Titans, which is of course not it. Facing the Giants,
the movie, the football movie, yes, about
that football Christian movie that's so dramatic.
Oh my gosh. I watched that in my Bible class, and for the rest of the year, me and my friends would be like, David, whatever the like big scene is where the dad is trying to get him to kick a field goal or something.
Don't give up on me, Brock. Don't give up on me. Don't you quit on me, Brock.
I had no idea you had seen that before, Caroline. That's incredible. Wow. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Great.
Okay. So you watched the film, the great film Works of Christian Media.
Yeah. I also got, I remember a very specific feeling. I would have a bunch of my friends were very involved in a youth group that I wasn't involved in high school. And they would get together. They got into this thing like maybe junior or senior year of high school where they were like, we're going to really come together in our faith. And they would invite me. But it would be a movie night at one of their houses or one of the pastor's houses where they would get together and watch a movie, a Christian film. And they would be like, come over, we're watching God's Not Dead. And I was like, so fucking angry. I was like, I don't want to watch that. It's fucking garbage. And I finally struck a deal with like two of my very Christian friends who are like guy friends of mine. And I was like, listen, all us and all the boys, we'll get together and watch God's Not Dead. But then us and all the boys have, I can't believe I'm saying this. This is so embarrassing. I was like, if I do it, all the guys have to get together and also watch Bill Maher's Religulous. And they consented. And I thought I was sticking it to them.
I think that's so brave, honestly. I like really do.
Again,
it's like that's what you know. Maybe if you're like in Missouri, you're like famous, you know, whatever, liberal atheist or something. You're like, this is the perfect antidote.
And you know, it was, you know, it's looking back on it, my God, Bill Maher's such a douchebag. But the it really was like kind of that, like, you know, you see these viral memes all the time that are like, my neighbor's a Republican and I'm a Democrat and they still borrow my shovel or whatever the fuck. Mm. And it really was like a more pure version of that, where it's like, we yes. really were just like 17-year-old kids being like, and I'll hear you out. and you hear me.
How did they react? How after the movie, were they like, I guess he made some points.
They honestly were pretty fair, I think, and yeah. I'm still friends with almost all of these guys, and they were pretty fair. They were like, yeah. they were way more fair. Honestly, if I'm being 100% honest, they were 2,000 times more fair about Religulous than I was with God's Not Dead, and I don't feel bad about that. Looking back, there are many things I feel bad about my attitude in that era of my life. This is not one of them, because God's Not Dead and other Christian propaganda films are heavy-handed, poorly acted, badly written fucking trash. So it's not comparable. Like, Religulous is like an actually, like, Bill Maher's annoying. His point of view is antagonistic for no reason. He's a douchebag. But it's an actually well-researched documentary with, like, at least points to make.
Yes, not just professionals on, like, made this movie. Yes, yes. As opposed right. to God's Not Dead, where or Facing the Giants, where a couple of dads got a Kickstarter going and then put it to use.
Yeah, well, and made it purposely, like, basically for the purpose of, like, we're gonna fight against normal culture, you know, to make that. Mm. And so it is like a propaganda film, you know. It's not like, I do this because I love the art, you know, or because yeah. like, I have a story I need to tell. Well, and I've seen God's Not Dead. We watched that. So you are correct. Like, you, that opinion has stood the test of time.
And it's also, I mean, it's a very funny thing to me that, you know, most hyper evangelical people are conservatives. And one of their big rallying cries is facts don't care about your feelings or whatever right now. And then movies like God's Not Dead, I'm like, this is emotional terrorism. Like, this is just like feelings.org.
Is yes, like, of course
you know
is.
It's
yeah.
just like, there's nothing, like, you guys don't have facts to compete on your big thing. Mm-hmm. This is your big thing and you don't have it.
Well, Caleb, we have a movie for you, because there is that one, The Case for Christ. Didn't they make that a movie?
Yeah, they did. We haven't watched that.
Was that. All about freaking facts. So you have some homework to do
if you actually look at the tags.
And there's my game.
Oh my God.
Jesus was literally alive and did all of that, so, and we have the forensic proof.
Yeah, we have the historical equivalent of Wikipedia entries to back it up. Great.
I remember also sitting, this isn't about media, I'll be quick. I know we have other stuff to talk about, but I remember also sitting one time with my friend, not naming any of these people because I don't know what they feel now or how they'd want to be portrayed, but I was sitting with my friend on like a sand volleyball court. We had just played volleyball with a bunch of our friends, and we were sitting there, like, it was dark, everyone had left, and we were just like listening to music. She's was very Christian. I don't know what she's doing now, but I know where she's at in the world. I don't know if she's Christian anymore. But she was like, don't you just feel, and I was telling her, like, yeah, I don't think I believe in any of that shit. And she was like, don't you just feel like it would be better off to try really hard to believe it just in case you're wrong.
Yeah, Pascal's wager. Like, yeah.
The whole fucking premise of your deal is that that God knows your heart. It won't work if I'm just like, well, you see me at all the church functions. It's like, he would know. So then I would waste my time being miserable and also not get the prize. It's crazy.
That is so true. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Like, if I'll just opt in just because of like a wager, you know, just because like a bet, like gambling that it could be right. Yeah, that's not
what
a
system
sincere
is that?
Faith in Christ.
Yeah.
I don't want to worship a God I could trick. Too.
Right. Like, yeah, I don't want to worship a universal
Savior,
creator who I could get one over on.
Yeah. Well, hey.
He is mighty to say.
Oh gosh. Okay. Well, let's talk about the song. Let's listen to at least a little bit of it in one iteration. This is by Hillsong United, the I Heart Revolution album. I don't know why it's called that. But,
because they're political activists.
Maybe this was part of that wave where it's like, we care about Africa. Like, you remember that in like 2006, 2009 era?
Haiti was a big part of it.
Yeah. All right, here we go. Everyone needs compassion, a love that's never failing. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a savior.
that's our part.
Come on.
My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
Get up!
Come on!
Come on, sing it out. Sing it out.
We gotta go to the bridge.
I'll go to the bridge.
The bridge is important.
Is this the bridge?
At this point, I am usually sobbing.
Hands up.
Oh, I thought he was screaming, "The bridge! The bridge!
The bridge! Wait, I can't even hear it. There it is. Oh, I'd always come in early on the bridge, too.
For the glory of the risen King, Jesus.
All right, that's pretty much it. And then repeat
that's everything.
That. I still remember like my harmony that I had for this song. Like I had a harmony.
Can you sing a little bit
song.
Of it by heart?
Just alone, the harmony. By
Yeah. I'll sing it over. I'll sing melody over Zoom, and you'll sing harmony on your Zoom, and it'll sync up perfectly.
No, thank you.
Okay.
But that's hard not to sing along with. It's such a jam.
It's a genuinely good song.
It's a good song.
So wait, can I guess what your harmony is? Is it like shine a light and let the whole world see? Is it like
probably okay. Yeah, whatever version of that is. Yeah.
I'm the
Savior, yeah. He can move the mountains. Mighty to save.
Caroline Ely on bass. Thank you. Wow. Okay, so Caleb, you sang this in youth group. Was this a high school, college age? What was the strike zone for this?
Middle school, high school.
Okay.
Big, you know, the youth group I spent the most time at had a separate building from the main church that was just the youth building. It was the youth center. And
fun.
It was honestly a blast. There was a coffee shop in it with like cozy
always
couches.
So fun.
And
yes. The couches they are sent, disgusting.
Oh yeah, the couches are awful. They had like foosball and ping pong and a big like they would do they would send buses to all the neighboring towns to pick up so you would see kids
wow.
from like all over the county. Like it was like a big
wow. That's nice
ordeal.
A
and
wit's
then
end,
the,
if you will, yes.
Yes. And then we would have a big they would do like a big countdown to when service was starting, and they would have like the band play, and we would do like the office was really huge then, so they would do like challenges from the office, like get out, like get the stapler out of the jello with just using your feet or whatever the fuck. It was just like goofy little skits.
This
and,
is
like
the time of my life. This was so fun.
It was nutty, man.
Yeah,
where every day felt like
it was
camp,
a good time.
Basically,
plus crushing shame.
Yeah, and then it was just the most subtle, like yeah, like. You know, how many, and they would give away iPods and shit. I mean, it was crazy. And then the message would just be like, how many of you at school are saying curse words under your breath?
Yeah.
How many of you aren't glorifying God on Friday and Saturday nights? And it's like, I know the person next to me just gave a hand job like 2 days ago. You know what I mean? It's like
Nicki Minaj is not glorifying her future husband by dressing that way.
Right. Right.
I love that shit.
Your church had some money. It sounds like they were well funded.
It is a big money church. It's the only like mega church in the whole area. So like all the towns around my town were very small, like didn't have grocery stores or gas stations. My town was like the place where you came to, and even my town was only like 8,000 people. So it was all still small, but it was like, yeah, people came for their stuff, including their
the
God.
Hub.
Yeah.
Get your God in the, yes, you were the Walmart church. Yes. In terms of scale and size. This is a song that came out in 2006. It won the Dove Award for Worship Song of the Year in 2009. Yeah. And did it deserve it? I think maybe it did.
Wait, in 2009 it won it?
Yeah,
so
I don't know.
Later?
I don't know what the gap is for. I don't know what that's about. But yes, at the 40th annual
GMA Dove Awards. And this is an oft-covered song. We can get to some of those covers in a little bit later. But yes, musically, pretty standard mid-tempo sort of. This is in the middle of the transition from U2 worship to Coldplay worship, which like I feel like the praise and worship genres move to, and this is like almost like a bridge connecting those things. And as far as like what the Hillsong stuff is, Caleb, why do you think this is a good song? Why was this a banger for you then and maybe even now?
I think it's catchy. I think it is genuinely fun to sing along to. I think when you hear it in a big room, like a big auditorium, it's that song that, like, you know, there's a bunch of other songs that like, what's that song? It's like, Jesus, we're living for your name. Never be the same with you. There's like Rocky songs and you do that. But this is the song that you play towards the end of the service when you really want people to cry.
Oh, it's a closer.
It's a closer. And you know, we love a closer, a big dramatic moment. And it's when your youth pastor is about to get up during the song and say, hey, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ in your life and you want to come down to the altar and pray with us, we would love to have you. And then, like, you know, very timidly, a kid who just like came for the second week will get up and be like, that's me. And they'll walk up there and get saved in front of everyone. And the adults are like sitting in the back the iPod worked. It's crazy.
I love it.
I'll see you in heaven, son.
Right. We did it. Soon. We saved another soul.
Caroline, what time in your life do you associate this song with? Is this college for you? Is this reality LA?
I'm sure I sang it in high school. I went to a Christian high school, so we had like church every week on top of regular church.
Yeah, flex on it.
Brag.
Resources. But this song I associate more with college, and I feel like I actually have like a specific memory of rehearsing with my college group, like worship team, for some reason, because I did that for a hot second before I decided I was too distracted by myself to be on the worship team long term.
Exactly.
And my incredible harmonies. Actually, another part of the issue was there were always four or five, sometimes like girl singers, and there was just no room for me. You know, it's like, what, I'm going to
so
double the melody? Like,
room.
No. I remember this being in college, and this is a closer, and it's very much like a. It's so funny because I've never ever once considered the meaning of this song, but like when you're singing it, and it's usually like at the top of your voice and like maybe your register even, like it feels really powerful and like you're really declaring something, like shine your light and let the whole world. But you have no idea. Like I've never like put the pieces of this song together to like tell you what this song means.
Until
you know?
Now.
Until this podcast.
It is funny. Like the melody of the chorus is so ascending, and then the bridge does feel like a freaking climactic because it's da 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 da, and it's getting louder, a little higher and higher. Then it's like pop. It's like pop sensibilities in a worship context, in the sense of like you're looking for that perfect
it's engineered
bridge,
for that
and it worked. It usually worked. I so associate this with first coming to Los Angeles like 10 years ago and first going to Reality.
Mm-hmm.
Went to a church called Reality LA, Caleb. It's a church that exists.
Have you heard of that church?
No.
Oh, okay.
Why would he? Why would anyone? Why would anyone hear of Reality
LA? I don't know.
LA?
I feel like some people that live in LA, like you just kind of hear about some of the church, like the bigger ones, you know, you just know. But
yeah.
No, you shouldn't know.
No, I think
my proud atheist, my Ricky Gervais guy, like he's not going to know.
The LA church getting the most. I think the LA church getting the most shine right now because of a certain Avenger not participating in a certain fundraiser might be Zoe Church.
His name rhymes with piss.
Piss frat, perhaps. May or may not. No names.
Yeah,
name.
Zoe Church.
Yes, but I associate with that, and it was literally always the closer for like 2 years in a row is what it felt like, and it worked. The whole thing of like the move, and we've talked about it before, where my savior, he can come on, and then everyone does the thing, and it's like,
and they, and it, when it, also when they get to the part when they're like shiny light, and a big thing in our church was for the guys with guitars to move their guitar off to the side, like it's on a strap, you know.
Yes.
Which I'd be like, "Shine light, like let the lights acoustic."
Yeah, let's go acapella.
Yeah, and then they would come back in and be like, for the car. And, you know, it was like such a
that
production.
Rocks. That
yeah,
rocks.
Fucking slaps, for real.
That gets me. Anytime you see that worship pastor sling the guitar behind his back, you're like, something's you're like, happening.
We're about to fucking worship.
The spirit is in this room tonight.
Caroline, what did you discover about the meaning of this song once you like inspected the lyrics a little closer? Everyone like, needs some compassion. Love that's never failing. The thing I used to sing along to it, by the way, is everyone needs some action, the kindness of a stranger. But I don't sing that as much anymore. No.
No, I don't know what the, I mean, generally, like, it's sort of that kind of call to action, like just declaring how cool God is. Mm-hmm. But there are some things that do feel a little disjointed. Like, everyone needs compassion and everyone needs forgiveness. Like, I want that theme to be explored more in the song, but it's just sort of a side note.
And like, then, you want a list of ways people need forgiveness?
No, more of just the thing of like everyone is maybe looking for love in all the wrong places.
Everyone needs some action. That's what I used
everyone
to say.
Everyone needs some action, yeah. Or everyone's hurting a little bit or needs like care.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a sweet note that maybe you don't always hear in a worship song. I liked that. And then it goes on to say, but all my fears and failures, you love me anyway as well. So there's the signature I'm a piece of shit theme as well in the worship song.
Mighty to
which
shave.
You love to see.
Yes, you do.
You love to see the I'm a piece of shit theme pop back up.
Savior.
It's our motif.
He can move them. That just beating the chest all throughout.
Yeah.
There's a bunch
what do
of...
you guys think this means? Like, do you guys are like a major theme?
No, I mean, it's just the basic, I said God's good stuff. I do like a note of, hey, this is about everybody. Everybody needs compassion. Everyone needs some blah, blah, blah. Everyone needs free. Like, that's the only thing that feels nice about it to me now. And the rest is just pretty boilerplate Hillsong core as far as the themes go, right?
Hey, mm-hmm. Hey, God's real, and you better get on board. That's the big.
He's mighty. He's flexing every Whoa. Day for you.
That's going to change a lot for me.
there's this guy named Jesus, and he did something he didn't have to do. And you owe him.
What a guy.
There's a bunch of different covers of this song. There's, of course, our favorite conservative George Clooney of CCM, Michael W. Smith, putting his spin on the song himself.
What needs forgiveness? The kindness of a savior.
Come on.
He is like the middle-aged man equivalent of like Britney Spears' voice, you know, just like a little bit baby.
Yeah.
Like a little bit baby.
Yeah,
boy.
I see it. Mm-hmm. I see it. There's also our favorite
Let
Michael Tate led Newsboys fronting it. Michael Tate needs some forgiveness, maybe.
Yeah, I'll do.
And of course, Caroline, we'd be remiss if we didn't play a certain psychotic version from
VeggieTales.
Hey, Bob. You know what? He is mighty to save.
I hate this.
Me and the kids sing this.
I'm so mad about this.
No, not Larry.
Everyone needs compassion.
No.
Love that's never failing.
Death penalty. Death
Let
penalty for this.
And imagine a 45-year-old man Everyone doing the Bob the Tomato voice in the booth.
The kindness of the savior.
That was a good take. Did you guys like that one?
I can't square it with like Bob the Tomato worshiping right, Christ at church.
Maybe it'll be powerful at the chorus,
Come on,
though.
Everybody.
Come on, everybody.
He can move the mountains.
The kids are doing heavy lifting on this. I
They're
will say that.
They're holding the tune.
Let's skip ahead.
Their arms are tired from carrying this song.
Do re mi fa so take me as you find me. All my
Not that! Anything but that!
There's a word
creative license.
That was a joke?
Because
the
lyrics are so take me as you find me. So... They have jokes. This is 2011.
Larry's better than that. Veggie Bob Tales and Larry are peak. Better than that. I don't
no,
like
they're
death
not.
Penalty.
They hoard
kill
them out.
The vegetables.
Yeah.
That is unacceptable.
Salad.
Saute tonight. Come on, baby. All right. So maybe it's time to offer final judgment on this song and give it a definitive thumbs up. Or a thumbs down. The way this works, Caleb, is we're going to give it a holy toast or holy roast. Holy toast is when we send the song to heaven, where the angels will be toasting it forever. Heaven-bound. Or we send it downstairs, where it might be roasting in eternity forever. So, Caroline, why don't we start with you?
Backpack the oldies for the for that.
Hey.
Okay, I'm going to give it a toast because it's given me a lot of energy over the years. And I think it's a fun song. It's a fun, inoffensive song.
Fun, inoffensive. Toast. All right, listeners, comb over the lyrics and see where you might take offense and send your tweets to at Caroline's Farts.
It's like a dog
Twitter.
Whistle to racism somehow, and I like missed it.
So some scholar is about to be in your mentions like, this is actually an allegory, you
and
stupid.
I unequivocally approve for all of my life.
So, okay, it's a toast from Caroline. We'll turn it to toast. Caleb.
Toast. It's a toast. This song is a banger. This song has an important place in my childhood, which makes it relevant. And this song is, above all else, above all themes and uses, it is a brilliant emotional closer. And from a sales perspective, you need it.
Yes, you're going to close some deals with that closer. I understand. Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Thank
wow.
you to Hillsong for doing that.
One enthusiastic toast, one complacent toast that might be cancelable. What do I give it? What am I in the position to do?
Oh, what's it going
to
be?
Well, I mean, upon re-listening to it, and I have some similar, maybe hostile residual feelings from this time in my life for different reasons, but upon re-listening to it and hearing Bob intone it the way he did and going as hard as he did in his little vegetable recording studio, I give it a toast too. I'm sorry. It's a unanimous wow. holy toast from the yes. Good Christian Fun Podcast. We did it, friends. You can go to @ChristianFunPod yourself, give it a roast or a toast, get out there and
Pokemon go to the polls.
And Corn Pop was a bad dude.
Corn Pop was a bad dude. Hey, we're taping this during the third and final debate of the presidential
That's
election
right.
in 2020.
Wow.
And I probably
that's
won't.
Okay.
I won't catch up. It's fine. Oh, man. Okay, now we're bringing it down. Caleb, let this float you back to that huge youth group complex building. The lights are dimmed. The synths are going so hard. Mm-hmm. And it's time to take it to a more worshipful space. We're lighting the candles in here, and we're not here to promote ourselves or to plug our own projects or go for the praise of man. We're here to lift those things up to the Lord, including our social media handles, what we're working on, what we want people to check out. And we start, as per usual, with Caroline Ely.
You can follow me on TikTok at Caroline's Farts.
Are you not sure about that?
I don't know. I feel like it's the only social media platform that right now I stand behind.
The one selling data
that
to China?
Can change. Yeah.
Good. Okay, good.
Yes. And I want to lift up a show that has rocked me to my core. It has changed my lifestyle. It's called Get Organized. It's on Netflix. They organize Reese Witherspoon's closet and Neil Patrick Harris's his children's playroom, and he's really weird on that episode. And it's just a delightful show to watch. It's maybe if you're looking for a British Bake Off level of like joy and problem solving.
Wait, Reese Witherspoon from Whiskey in a Teacup fame?
Yes.
Whoa. Oh,
and from Draper James retail stores you may have heard of.
All right, great. We'll turn it to Caleb.
I want to lift up all of the Republicans running for office right
Whoa!
Now.
They need it. They need it.
I want to lift up the Electoral College. I love it.
As a system.
I want to lift up yeah. I want to lift up electoral politics and dark money within it. No, you know, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Caleb Says Things, and
a must follow, obviously.
You
have
can
to
follow me if you have want.
To. No, you must. No, 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 no. It's mandatory.
No,
if you want to keep
shy.
Listening to the podcast, you're not shy. You liar.
I'm shy.
You do not get to however many followers you are without not being
follow
a little
me.
Shy.
Follow
not
me
shy.
If you want. Follow me if you want a bashful little boy on your TL.
Oh, my God.
Scared of waiters.
Who votes red.
Not the case.
No, you know, follow me if you want to, and be nice, be kind to one another.
Hey, I'm glad you're catching on to my catchphrase, mine and mine alone.
Throw it around like confetti.
I'm going to lift up the kindness subscription box monthly. It's $25.
Mentally ill.
I'm sorry, Caleb, continue your lift up. Any other projects you're working on? Any work you want people to see?
Oh, you know, I'm... all my stuff is kind of on pause because of I'm doing some live shows around LA and stuff when they come up. But, you know, just follow me on stuff if you're interested, and I'll let you know.
You're in Fargo Season 4. People will see you on that.
You can see me in Fargo. That
so
is true.
Excited.
Erstwhile. Hey. All right. Thanks, Caleb. Well, you can lift me up at Kevin T. Porter everywhere. And I'll freaking lift up. I watched a movie from 25 years ago that I thought was pretty good. A movie called Before Sunrise. Watch that. I don't care.
I feel like a lot of people are talking about that trio of movies lately.
A lot of people?
Yeah. I feel like I've seen it all over.
Yeah.
What's going on there?
And it might be straight culture. I don't know. Maybe it's problematic to lift it up. It's good. I like it.
Now I feel like I need to get on board.
Have you seen it, Caleb? Have you seen Before Sunrise?
Never heard of it.
Is that true?
That's true. I've never heard of it.
Okay, great.
But I'm willing to learn. But I'm willing to learn. I'll watch
open,
it.
And you hear it as a bashful, Republican-loving little boy on the timeline. You're here to listen. You can lift us up at Christian Fun Pod everywhere. You can go to patreon.com/goodchristianfun for more good Christian fun every week. And you can leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Every review you leave, we donate $1 to charity. And this month's charity is Glitz. Again, Glitz. Caleb, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast, sir. What a fun time.
Thanks for having me.
Such a delight.
This was the best.
Here.
And there's nothing left to say except for an all of Pod's people said,
shine your light in, let the whole world see.
Amen. Okay, we're going to go out with the definitive version of Mighty to Save.
Bad.
Oh, now they're
bad
duetting.
And unredeemable.
I don't want to live this life.
I believe I.
They're walking a really fine line with like doing little jokes and skits in the middle of things.
Come on,
like,
join us.
He can move the mountains.
My God is mighty to save. He
enough,
is mighty
enough
to save.
Oh, gracious. Okay.
Bye-bye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.